Okay, so Nitzavim begins a re-entering into the covenant, or Nitzavim Ayom Kulchem, Lefnei Hashem etc. One of the things that Moshe does is he identifies potential bad actors, right? People that you're going to have to deal with that are going to be problematic, who are going to think that they are not part of the covenant, they're above the covenant, they're not subject to the terms of the covenant, right? And he calls them out before it happens, right? So you already read this morning, because as short as Nitzavim is, you read like 40% of it or something on Mondays and Thursdays. So the pasuk says, "Pen yesh bochem ish o isha o mishpacha o shevet asher livavo fone hayom me'im Adonai Eloheinu lalechet la'avod et Elohei hagoyim ha'heim. Pen yesh bochem shoresh pore rosh vila'ana." Right, so there might be among you a man or a woman or a family or a tribe whose heart already today turns away from God to follow the other gods. Maybe there is shoreh pore rosh vila'ana. Now, it's a very poetic way of saying a root of that is growing of wormwood and gall or something like that. Right, meaning it's right. It's a root. It's going to grow into something bigger, but it's already something bitter. And what is he going to say, or she going to say, or the tribe going to say, or the family going to say? V'haya b'sham'o et divrei ha'ala hazot, and when they hear this covenant with its accompanying curses, v'hitbarech bilvavo le'mor shalom yiheli. He says, I will have peace to me. Why? Ki b'shrirut libi eilech, I will go in the freedom of my heart, l'ma'an sfot harava et hatzmeya, in order to satiate the person who has drunk along with the person who is thirsty. Now, even when you translate that pasuk, trying to figure out what it's supposed to mean is difficult. And all of the mafarshim try to figure out what does it mean, right? Meaning, the fundamental problem is, why is it that here you are, you have a covenant, you're telling the Jews, if you keep the Torah, it'll be good, if you don't keep the Torah, it'll be bad. And then, by the way, there's this person who says, Bishrirut li bi'elech, I'll do whatever I want, right? And it'll be okay, right? And then this bizarre phrase at the end, Laman Svot HaRavad Atzmeya, to give water to the one who has water along with the one who is thirsty. So, what does it mean? What do you think? We won't go through all the possibilities, but what do you think it means? Right? What is going on? Why would someone say, you know what? I don't care. It's okay. It's okay. Right? So I won't keep the covenant, but it'll all be okay. Bishrirut li bi'elech. Why would anyone say that?
Sounds like a lack of belief.
Good. So one possibility is lack of belief, right? The person basically says, whatever, right? Like, I don't believe in any of this anyways, right? So I'll do whatever I want. It'll all be okay. Meaning this is all... Now, I think to a modern, that's a very plausible read, right? It's probably a less plausible read to someone who's living in the time of Tanakh, because the existence of a god and there being some sort of consequences, right? That type of thing is more of a given, right? So for this to just be a statement of complete lack of faith, right? Again, it's a very plausible read. But I think the reason many of the Mefarshim go for more complicated theological positions is just like, you know, that's, right? You're dealing with someone who believes and for some reason still thinks that they're going to, they're going to get out of it. So what else might it mean? And how does it fit in with Laman Svot HaRavad Atzmeya, so that the thirsty will drink along with the people who are, right, sated of their thirst?
Could be people will think that since they're okay now, they'll continue to be okay.
Good, that's the... Good, right? So it could be that it's someone who's saying, look, right now I'm okay, so that'll probably continue, right? And that leads to their lack of belief in their being consequences, right? And maybe that links to the shoresh pore rosh vila'ana, that it's a root, right? Meaning it hasn't quite set in yet, right? There's the beginning of the bad, so they're not seeing it yet, right? And that's why it's not real yet. Now, some of the Mefarshim say, and again, I'm not going to go through all of them inside. Some of the Mefarshim say, look, here's what's going to go on. He is going to say, Bishrirut li be'alech, I'll do whatever I want. Why? Now, most of the Mefarshim assume that this is about crime and punishment, and then they come up with different theological justifications. So some say, I think this is Akedah Yitzchak, he said, look, here's what's going to happen. He is going to sin, and he's going to say, listen, I'm only one person. As long as everybody else is good, so God is going to reward the people as a nation. And I'll just, l'man tzvot ha'ravat atzmeya, right? Really, I deserve to die of thirst, but everyone else will be good. So there'll be water, right? So I'll be okay. L'man tzvot ha'ravat atzmeya, like, I'll do whatever I want. I'll let everyone else be from, and me, you know, I'll be a terrible person, but God's going to reward the nation as a whole, so it'll all be okay, right? And I, who am tzameh, I who really am lacking, right, he won't have any consequences. Okay, and the majority of Mefarshim have some sort of, right, the Ibn Ezra says this, right? Right, he says, sorry, this, that was the Ibn Ezra. He says, Aval b'sheilech b'shuili bi, even though I do whatever I want, ki b'tzedkana tzedikim mechia, I'll live through the righteousness of the tzedikim. Right? Ki heim rambim v'ani yachid chotei. Because I'm just one person. They're all, right? They're sinning and I'm not. Right? So it's okay. The nation will be good. Right? And he doesn't realize that either, right? The nation will be punished on his behalf or God, right, has the capabilities of punishing one person, even, right, amongst a group. But what I want to share with you is one more pshat, which is, as Nechama Leibovitz points out, very much not pshat, but totally fascinating and worth exploring. That's from the Ketav HaKabbalah, from Yaakov Mecklenburg. So he says as follows. Bishrirut li bi'elech. Achar shidiber mi'avon chamor avodah zarah. B'amer asher sh'amar asher levo poneh. Right? After he talks about avodah zarah, which is terrible. So samach lo inyan ra umar. He talks about another terrible thing. V'amar ala pen yesh bochem shoresh pare rosh v'la'ana. V'hu ish asher mikoro mishachad v'sanot upinot shehen ikariot p'toratenu. This is someone who doesn't believe, right? As you said, someone who doesn't really believe. V'hu kishishma'u divrei ha'alot ha'azot. When he hears these curses, kol dikdei gedukei abrit, the whole details of the covenant, parateh mitzvot min yanim shonim, k'tatan mevorimim b'ta'aman u'k'tatan she'en l'seicham avoh b'hem. He says, here's the problem. He's going to hear the covenant and he's going to say, some of these are rational mitzvot, and some of these I don't understand. And you see in this, it's very polemical. This is a very modern perush, right? He's writing 200 years ago. And he says, what are they going to say? They come from God. There are many mitzvot I just don't understand, and therefore I can't bring myself to keep them. And therefore, every time I do, right, I keep a mitzvah I don't understand, it makes me stressed out, right? It gives me cognitive dissonance. I'm like, what am I doing? Why am I keeping this mitzvah? It makes no sense to me. So maybe I'll do it, maybe I won't. Why? So he says, listen, all the other Mefarshim say, what does the person say? I won't keep the Torah at all, but it'll be okay for whatever reason. He says, no. You know what the person's saying? What does Bishrut Libi Eilech Yotam mean? I'm only going to keep the mitzvot if they make me feel good, because I understand them. But if they don't, right, I won't keep them. I refuse to do anything unless Bishrirut li bi'alech. Right, Bishrirut li bi'alech doesn't mean I won't keep anything. I'll do whatever I want. It means I'll keep the mitzvah that I understand and make me feel like I'm living according to my own conscience. But anything that gives me pause because I don't understand it, right, and makes me feel like, what am I keeping? That, forget it. I refuse to keep any mitzvah I don't understand. Right, meaning most of the Mefarshim say the point is he doesn't want to keep the mitzvah. And Bishrirut li bi'alech just means I'll do whatever I want, right? I won't care about the mitzvah at all. The Ketav HaKabbalah says, no, this is describing someone who's willing to keep the mitzvah, but only the ones that make him feel at peace, because he understands them. He agrees with them, but not because he's willing to do things that God commands, whether or not he understands, whether or not they make him feel comfortable. He says that's who the pasuk is going against. Milat lev hunach al dat va'aseichal va'abina. Right, and that person, right, he's the person who's going to say, look, it'll all be okay. Why? If I can get his line. You know, I'll leave that side. I'll leave that. Right, but what's I think most fascinating about the piece by Rav Mecklenburg, right, is that everybody else thinks the problem here is that someone isn't willing to keep the mitzvah. Right, what he's saying is no. The problem here is that people think that you always have to be at peace with the mitzvah. You have to understand them. You have to be okay. Right? They said that fundamentally is the problem. Right? People who think that they can get away with those because look, religion is just about what I understand. Right? That's the person who they'll say, I'm going to be at peace. It's going to be fine. Right? However he understands the last part. Because, well, look, at the end of the day, if it makes sense to me, that's the only thing that's important. Right? But he's saying that's not what religion's about. That's not what a covenant is about. Right? Part of it is that you're accepting things you don't necessarily understand. Right? Now, I understand this is probably an upshot, and it's very polemical. Right? Because he's writing in the 19th century, where he's writing as new movements are coming in. Right? That's what he's responding to, obviously. Right? But for that reason, it's all the more, I think, of a very important Musar point in the Pasuk for people who live in that world, right? Where everybody, right, like the most common religion in America is spiritual but not religious, right? Are people who say, right, I know I believe in God, I just don't believe in religion, right? I don't believe in the power of anyone else to tell me what it is, right? If I believe it's good, then it's good, right? But the whole point of a covenant, the whole point of religion is that, no, there are things that you don't understand or at least don't yet understand, and you're committed to them anyways, right? Because there's something beyond you, right? And it's not okay to limit your religious practice only to those things that you're already comfortable with, right? That's not how things work. Yeah, Ellie. That's exactly his point, right? He's saying there's going to be someone who's not going to be okay with that, right? That's exactly his point. Right. Of course. Meaning, you're right. There's so much of rabbinic tradition that is exactly making this point in various forms, which is you can't understand anything. You have to be okay with that, right? What the pasuk is saying is there are going to be people who aren't okay with it. Right, and that's why the pasuk is calling them out in advance. You're right. This is, according to Riyako Mecklenburg, this is part of that tradition. And again, is it pshat that this is what should be aleich? Not, I'm going to do whatever I want, but I'm going to keep the mitzvah, but only as I understand them? Probably not. Right? But on the other hand, he's responding to a modern phenomenon because he's living in the modern period. Right? And I think the pshat does speak very much to a modern audience. Right? And when you're thinking about what it means to commit, right, part of what it means to commit is to commit to things. Again, you can commit to trying to understand them more, right? But in the meantime, the point is that you can't just throw things away, right? Because religion isn't just about doing what you think is meaningful. Okay, let's stop there because we're already running late. Shkoyach. Shlichot really drives me crazy.